We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy Veterans Day to you here in Brevard County. We want to thank all of you veterans who, whether you're active duty, retired, in the Guard or Reserve, we thank you for your service to our country, and we honor you today. Thank you for all that you do. We love our veterans. We love our country. And, one of the projects that we have been working on is, it's called our Warrior Bible Project. And, we are working on that with other Assembly of God churches. And it's a study Bible. I know on yesterday's broadcast, I talked to you about a study Bible that we produce for pastors in foreign countries in the their native tongue. And I actually have we call it a fire Bible. It's a study Bible, in a foreign language. And, I bring that Bible out and I ask people in our congregation to read it from time to time. And you know what? They can't read it because the language that it's written in is not the language that we speak. And a lot of times that's a challenge that people in foreign countries face is, if they do have a Bible, it may be an English Bible. It might be another language, but it's not their native language. Well, I can make out a few words in Spanish. I can make out a very, very, very small number of words in French. But if you were to try and get me to understand the greatest truth in all the world, and I had to learn that in a language that is, you know, a weakness at best, I would really struggle in that. But one of our projects is a Warrior Bible, and I'm awaiting an update on that project currently. But it is a study Bible designed to help our military personnel, men and women, families, fathers, sons, daughters, kids, deal with the unique challenges that come from deployment, from being separated from your family for a prolonged period of time, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, suicide, a lot of different things, you know, authority, how to deal with all of substance abuse. And these are not written by people who are just, you know, writers. The articles are written by people who've served and are serving in the armed forces. And so I will keep you updated on that. But until then, we salute you, men and women, and thank you for serving our country, the greatest country on planet Earth. So today I want to take you to Acts chapter 4. This is just going to be a little blip on the radar screen. I want to talk to you about a tremendous man, and it's a person that we talk about on occasion. Normally we talk about him just in one aspect, but I want to talk to you today in Acts chapter 4 about a man by the name of Barnabas. In verse 32, it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas, by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sought it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And so here we're talking about the church. It was growing. It was growing, and it was united in heart. It was united in purpose. And they realized, they came to realize at that very early stage in life of the church that they were simply stewards of the possessions that God had, or that God had blessed them with. And so whenever they saw a person in need, they would reach out and minister to that need. Now, I want you to understand that this was a relational situation. It wasn't based upon the need. It was based on the relationship, based on the relationship. And so, you know, whenever somebody calls the church and they ask, you know, if we can help them with a need, the first question that I ask them is, well, what church do you go to? And almost invariably, people begin to tell me, you know, the circumstances about why they do not attend a church here or a church there. Occasionally, they will mention a church, and almost always it'll be one of the larger churches in the area. And it's just part of my smart aleck nature. I'm sorry. I apologize. And so I begin to ask them what the pastor's name is. And very rarely will they be able to tell me the pastor's name. And, you know, I want to know, you know, what their relationship is, because we're supposed to be in this thing together. But if we're in it together, it's because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not that somebody just had, that they wanted to lay around until noon and they didn't want to go out and work. And then other people went out and worked. And then they said, oh, well, this person over here, you know, the Bible's very clear. If you do not work, you do not eat. Now, there are some extenuating circumstances in that. And that is if you are physically limited, that you cannot work, then, you know, you're exempt from that. But I want you to know that there is something that you can do, and that is you can pray, you can intercede, you can believe, you can hold the pastor up in prayer, you can hold the church leadership up in prayer, you can pray for the lost, you can pray for missionaries, you can be productive, and God will use you to meet needs that other people may not be able to meet. And so it says here, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And so there was the favor of God. And one of the definitions that I really like about grace, you know, there's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's an acronym for grace. It is God giving me what I do not deserve. Mercy is God not giving me what I do deserve. Grace is God giving me what I do not deserve. But there's another aspect of grace, and that is empowerment. And God empowered the disciples so that as they went out, they were making an impact. They were influencing the culture, and people's lives were being transformed. It says, and the grace that was upon them wasn't just grace. It was mega grace. It was great grace. Now, there are some people who've taken this to extremes, and they have created kind of a hyper grace movement where it doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter the words you say, the thoughts you think, or anything like that. You are absolutely forgiven. And I want you to know that God's grace empowers me to live in accordance with His word. His grace not only frees me from the consequences of sin, but it frees me from the obligation to sin. I was a sinner, and Jesus saved me, changed my nature to a child of God, and gave me a new way of life, gave me a new home, a new name. He gave me the ability to live the way that God wants me to. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. So today I want you to know that as grace was available to that early church, it's available to us, and it is great grace to empower us to live in accordance with God's word. says, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Several years ago, I had a situation where things just felt like they just didn't feel quite right inside of my chest, and so I went to the doctor. I had a stress test done. I had a EKG done. He sent me to a cardiologist. They ran a stress test, and I'll never forget the lady doing the stress test was humming This Old Man while I was getting that done, and I was a young man then. He came, you know, when the stress test was over, he came to me and he said, you don't have a heart problem, you got a stress problem. And I realized that I was carrying things that I wasn't supposed to be carrying. And as a result of that, there was stress in my life. Well, I want you to know that here in America, I believe that the same thing happens, not just on a physical level for us as individuals. I believe it's happening to us as a country. I believe that we have tried to shove God to the background, and we have tried to take away from the church the ability to meet needs. And as a result, the government has taken on more and more of those responsibilities. And as a result of that, there is stress that is going on in the budget. I mean, every year now, for I don't know how many years, we've been operating at a deficit here, deficit there. We spend more money than we make. And I believe that the church was designed by God to meet the needs in our community. And, you know, there may be some exceptions to that. There may be some a role for government in that. But meeting needs was supposed to be coupled with connecting people with the God who could meet their needs, with Jehovah Jireh, with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whenever we try and separate those two, we're going to run into problems and we're going to manifest stress. All of that to get to this verse here, number 36. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. First of all, we always refer to this guy as Barnabas. What we don't realize is that his name was Joseph. That was his name. That was his given name. And Joseph goes all the way back to Jacob and Rachel. Rachel had wanted to have kids. Jacob was having kids by Leah and by Rachel's handmaiden, Leah's handmaiden. And Rachel finally had a son, and she named him Joseph. And Joseph means, may God add another. May God add another. And so Joseph was pointing to increase. It was a cry to God. God, would you add even more? Would you not just remove the curse, but would you provide in abundance? Would you be God more than enough? And so this guy just starts off as an average Joe in the church there in Jerusalem. But he was given a different name by the apostles. You see, Joseph was one of those people that when he saw people in need, he said, you know what? I can do something about meeting that need. And he made it happen. You and I, whenever we see a need, we need to say, God, what can I do to meet that need? I've got a friend right now. He's very active in meeting the needs in Ukraine. And I was just talking to him and I said, you know, I really want to do something to help the humanitarian crisis there in Ukraine. But I'm looking for what I can do. And he said, you know, this is going to be a project that goes on for a while. He said, right now there are some people who are able to help. And when they're not able to help, you may be able to step up and help. And so, thank God for the body of Christ. Thank God for connections. And you know, there are churches that are being afflicted there in the Ukraine. There was a pastor. He's been arrested He was taken out of his church. Some of his leaders and some of his kids, if I remember correctly, were taken out, and the people who've occupied that part of Ukraine just took them out and shot them, killed them. But the church is still moving forward and says, you know what, you're not going to deter us from our faith in Jesus Christ. Joseph was not only asking God for another, but he was a giver. I want to mention that. And so we rejoice. 'Tis more blessed to give than to receive. And so Joseph went about and he saw this need and he did what he could to meet that need. Then the apostles come along and they said, Joseph, we're going to give you another name. We're going to give you another name and we're going to call you Barnabas. Okay. And so Barnabas, it says here, which is translated son of encouragement, son of encouragement. And Barnabas was that. He was an encourager. Barnabas was used by God to, when he went and checked out a situation for the apostles, he said, you know what? There's this guy that got saved about 14 years ago, and he's just sitting on the sidelines, and I believe that God wants him to help in this process. And so he went and got Saul. Later, they changed his name to Paul. This was in Antioch. And they began to minister there, and Barnabas was one who encouraged Saul in the ministry. He was also an encouragement later to John Mark. If you've ever known somebody who started off well, but then they hit a bump in the road, that was John Mark. He started off well, and then he got homesick, and he abandoned the mission that he was on, and he went back. And when Paul and Barnabas returned, John Mark wanted to go again. Barnabas wanted to take him. And Paul said, no, he abandoned us the last time. He'll probably abandon us again. And Barnabas said, you know what? I need to encourage him. And they ended up going separate directions. Barnabas took John Mark and became his encourager. And guess what? Paul would later write, send to me John Mark, for he is a great blessing to me. That's the Bob Arthur's paraphrase version. But he's a blessing. I need you to send John Mark to me. And so whenever you read in Acts that they had this parting of the ways, you need to realize that that didn't stay that way, that Barnabas not only encouraged John Mark in the ministry, but he evidently was used of God to bridge that divide with Paul to where that relationship was a blessing, and John Mark was used of God to write the Gospel of Mark. And so Barnabas was a son of encouragement. He was a person who encouraged one another or other people. He said, God is going to use you. I want to declare to you today that you are a gift from God to this community, that God wants to develop you, that God wants to increase your life. He wants to bless you and make you a giver, and he wants to make you a source of encouragement to those in the body of Christ, so much so that people may go around and start calling you a different name. They might, you know, you remind me of a guy by the name of Barnabas. You're just always encouraging people. And so, you know, one of the things that I would like to be known for here on the radio program is bringing refreshing to the body of Christ, that there would be seasons of refreshing and renewal that would blow your way, that God would bring refreshing to you, and you would know that he cares for you and has a plan for your life, and he wants to use you to encourage other people. And so that's where I was always at with Barnabas. You know, Barnabas, when he traveled with Paul, they came to this one town and they wanted to call them Zeus and Mercury, I believe was the name, Hermes. And they called Paul the messenger and they called Barnabas the senior statement. And they literally began to worship them as these Greek gods. And Paul and Barnabas said, no, no, don't do that. We're just men like you are. And then they got ticked off at him and wanted to kill him. It's really kind of interesting. But they recognized the relationship that was there, to the point that Barnabas and Paul had so encouraged that community that they thought they were gods. They were children of God, but they were not gods. Today, I am thankful that I am a child of God. But all the glory, anything that I've ever accomplished, all the glory belongs to Jesus, because without him, I can do nothing. Touching on yesterday's program, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But on the other hand, without him, I am incapacitated. I'm incapable of doing things. So that's where I had always stopped. I didn't even realize all the time of reading this passage that Barnabas was the his church name, if you will. It wasn't even his birth name. It was given to him because he was just such a blessing. And so when I was studying this passage, I looked up, and I was actually looking at a different part of this verse, and I looked it up in the Interlinear Bible on my Bible program, and amazingly enough to me, Barnabas literally does not mean son of encouragement. It says here that it was translated that way, but that's not what it literally means according to the Interlinear Bible that I had. It said that the literal meaning is son of prophecy or son of the prophet. And I thought, wow, that is really interesting. It is true that Barnabas wanted to see increase, because his name was Joseph. It's true that he was a giver. It's true that he was a worker, that he was valued in the early church. It's true that he was an encourager to Paul, an encourager to John Mark, an encourager to the towns that he went to minister. But he was the son of prophecy. That's what Barnabas meant, according to this Interlinear Bible that I have. And I thought, God, I want to be the son of the word that you've spoken over my life. I want to be the byproduct of that word that you have spoken, that you said you have called me by name. I want to be that one that says, you've loved me. You've written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you've asked me to go out into the harvest field and work. And God, I want to be one that is identified with the supernatural word that you have spoken over my life. There are so many people in our society that they live under the word of condemnation that other people have spoken, that they are worthless, that they will never amount to anything, that they were a disgrace as a spouse, they were horrible as a parent. There are so many condemning words that people live under. And then we wonder why people are so mixed up and confused and non-functioning in our society. And I believe it's because they're living under the devil's word instead of living under God's word. And so I would like to pronounce this for you today. God has a word that he wants spoken over your life. He wants the word forgiven spoken over your life. He wants the word healed spoken over your life. He wants the word redeemed spoken of your life. He wants the word priceless and valuable to me and spoken over your life. You are useful for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. And no matter how it appears to people in society, Barnabas, I don't believe, did this for any great notoriety's sake. I believe he did it because he loved people. And the disciples said, you know what? This is a man who is living as a byproduct of the word that has been spoken over his life. And that's what I believe God wants for us. At Merit Assembly of God, we're all about restoring relational and spiritual value. You are valuable to God. See, Hosea is an interesting book. It talks about Hosea and his wife, and her name was Gomer. I think that's a very unusual name for a wife, but that was her name. And She had an unfaithfulness issue. She had a spirit of adultery. She just was unfaithful to Hosea. And so after she was unfaithful to him, she went out and she pursued her other lovers. And when she was used up, when she was no longer valuable to them, they put her on the auction block and they sold her to the highest bidder. You see, that's what the enemy will do to you when you live under his word and chase his fantasies. There are some people who live pursuing fantasies instead of pursuing the purpose and the plan that God has for them. And when the fantasies went poof and they dissolved into thin air, Gomer was left and she had no value. And they said, you know, see if we can get a chicken for her. See if we can get, you know, if we could get a cow, that would be wonderful. But, you know, if not, just maybe a chicken or a few shekels of silver or whatever. Get whatever you can for her. And you know who went and bought her when the world said she was worthless? Her former husband, Hosea, the prophet. And he said, I have a word to speak over your life, and that is this. You will not call me my Lord or my master. You will call me my husband. And God has a way of redeeming. He is a redeeming God. And if you're listening today and maybe you're broken, maybe your company has told you that you are no longer needed, whatever it might be, you may have been rejected by your spouse or whatever, I want you to know that God has a word to speak over you, and that is, you are the apple of my eye. You are the object of my affection. One of my favorite titles for God is Jesus, lover of my soul. And so I want you to know today that you are loved by God and that he has a plan for you. Let me close out in prayer today if I can. Father, I pray today that this broadcast would be an encouragement to somebody. Lord, I pray that you would take just an average Joe and you would use them as a person of influence in the kingdom of God. God, I pray for increase. I pray for every Bible-believing church in Brevard County to increase in influence in the community. God, I pray that you would use us as encouragers to other people in the ministry, to other people in our church and in our community. And God, I pray that every person here would live under your word and not the devil's word for their life. I pray, God, that we would know what you have called us to do and we would do it with all of our heart. And Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you, for you are a great God. You are the lover of our souls. If this word has been an encouragement to you, would you just send us an email at meritassembly@hotmail.com or call us at 454-4263. It would be an encouragement to us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.